the city of Cleveland and the Haslams and what a mess this thing has become. So we'll see where all that goes. I'm Jeff Phelps. Andy's out today. Dan Menigan enjoying the show with me, I hope. As we also did the Why You Don't Draft a Kicker team.
That was the only part of the show I didn't enjoy.
That's a stunning revelation. Mm-hmm. I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, you know how much I love revisionist history.
I'm well aware, actually. You know, as Andy would say, it's not news until Tom Withers says it is. I'm going to stick with that for a long time, but it's going to be an interesting thing moving forward. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a man who made a little announcement on social media on Sunday, Mr. Tom Withers. Hello, Thomas.
What's up, buddy?
Happy New Year, boys.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Let's get this out of the way. What are you doing?
What am I doing? Trying to put together a little Browns quarterback story, keeping one eye on Alabama, Michigan to evaluate Jalen Milroe, talking to you guys, and stepping away from the Associated Press as of Friday.
So, and there you go.
See, yeah. I give you all the credit,
right?
Because I would have phoned this in, man. I would have been like, last week.
Not Tom.
What are you going to do, fire me?
Hey, it's pardon the pun. It's the way I'm wired, right? This has been my career for 35 years. It's kind of hard to change it overnight. So, I don't know what 2025 looks like just yet. But I'm not going to sweat it. But it's been a really good run here in Cleveland, and I have a lot of people to thank, including 92.3. You guys have been more than kind to me over the years, and I've enjoyed your company and conversations immensely, and thank you very much.
Well, we're not done yet, so thanks. And I hope it means that you have a chance to be with us even more often moving forward. But I've always appreciated your friendship, Tom, and certainly your expertise when it comes to your business and covering sports. You're as good as it gets, so thank you very much for that.
The feeling is mutual, Jeff, and same for you, Dan. And I'm sorry Andy's not around today, but I did speak to him on Sunday at the ballpark or at the stadium. So, all is good. On to a new chapter. I posted on Facebook. I'm excited and terrified at the same time.
Hey, that's not a bad way to go, I guess, Tom.
No, in all honesty. Keep you on your toes, right?
Exactly right. You weren't expecting to have a 3-13 team to be writing about this week. As you sit back and take a look at this, is it a complete mess? Is it a season that just went south and shouldn't have and is easily fixed, or what? I don't have a real good feel for it.
I don't either. I didn't think they'd be 3-13. I didn't think they'd be 13-3 either. I kind of had them somewhere in the middle. I think most of us did, right? I think we all, you know, watched last year and saw what, you know, Joe Flacco was able to do down the stretch here, which was nothing short of almost miraculous, right? And it was a wonderful month plus for everybody who's been a Browns fan or Browns writer or anything. It was as good as it's been here, to be honest, excuse me, Jeff, since 1999. So I went into the season thinking, okay, you know, if Deshaun Watson comes back, if he's healthy, if he shows you those flashes and those moments that you saw last year, whether it was against Baltimore or a couple other instances, then maybe they got something here. You know, obviously health is going to be a big component. And listen, it's been one thing after another for this team this year. This has been, you know, one of those, much like many of the previous 24 or 25 that I've covered here in Cleveland, right? One bad thing has gone wrong and then kind of the snowball effect. And so that's where we're at right now, Jeff. It's really hard to, you know, point fingers at anybody in particular, but, you know, when you're heading into your season finale and you're not sure who's even going to start at quarterback in that game, that's just kind of an indication of where things have been. So I do think there is talent on both sides of the roster. I do think it was important to hear Myles Garrett come out as strongly as he did, excuse me, a couple weeks ago in saying that, hey, I want to see what this blueprint looks like because I'm not going to waste any more time here on a team that's going to, you know, go through another rebuild or what have you. So I thought that was an important moment in this season and as we go forward.
Well, and then on top of that, Tom, to add in Denzel Ward after that, saying, hey, if you're going to show him that plan, if you don't mind, I'd like to see it. And Joel Bitonio then politely asked too.
Yeah, which is, you know, listen, and, you know, then Miles, you know, brought it up on Friday. I forget, might have been Mary Kay that asked him or what have you about who you've been talking to. And it clearly was the connection to Clutch Sports and LeBron. And right, I mean, that was the first major athlete that we have arguably seen in the country, you know, step forward and kind of chart his own path going forward. And while we had big problems with the way he left here the first time in Cleveland, it certainly showed that athletes can be empowered and they have a major stake in where they're playing and where they're going to play in the future. So I give Miles some credit. Now, like, some people will look at the cynical part of that and say, well, that's just him angling to get a new contract extension. Well, be that as it may, he's, you know, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL and obviously the best defensive player in Cleveland Browns history. So what he says matters, and obviously that's going to have a major impact on what ownership thinks about this team going forward.
Tom Withers joining us, Associated Press. Tom, with what Miles said, with what you just said about ownership, I wonder what's a bigger call for the Haslams. Would it be bringing everybody back, and I mean coaches and front office, which they've said they think they have the right people in place? Would it be making moves? Would it be changing one and not the other? I think they have some
tricky.
Yeah, I think so too. What do you think?
I agree with you, Jeff. You know, it's in terms of evaluating the coach and the general manager, and I don't feel like they're necessarily connected at the hip, even though we've kind of, you know, lumped them together for years here. And obviously they both get the contract extension this past summer. You know, I think Kevin Stefanski has displayed that he is an excellent head coach. And I think they want to hold on to that. I think there is a certain amount of the Haslams that probably feel like, you know, we've showed patience at time. Well, now it's time to really exert that patience here because we do feel we have the coach in place. As far as Andrew Berry is concerned, I mean, you can pick apart the drafts over the last 5 years, and there's been some big misses. Let's be quite honest. But also when you look at him and you evaluate those drafts over the last 5 years, you got to remember that this guy didn't have a first round draft pick for the last 3 years. So that has to come into play in some regard. So, you know, then in terms of, you know, the roster, again, as I mentioned before, I think there are some good pieces. That being said too, there's been some young guys that have kind of regressed this year too, which is a little bit head scratching. I mean, I'll talk about, you know, Martin Emerson, for instance, you know, a player that I really identified as potentially a guy that you could mark down as a legitimate impactful starter for 7 years or more. And he's just didn't play that way this year for whatever reason. So there's a lot of those examples, I think, dotting across this roster. So they've got big decisions to make. As you mentioned, Jeff, I think they're going to keep the structure as is in terms of, you know, the coach and the general manager. You know, beyond that, I think there's going to be change. I mean, you're going to have to change this coaching staff. The Ken Dorsey situation has really not worked out, but again, in fairness to Ken, look what he's been handed in terms of quarterback. So, a lot to digest, I know, and I'm glad I'm not making those decisions.
And no kidding. Tom Withers, Associated Press, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I mean, it's between a rock and a hard place, Tom. So going into next year, do you think they go out and bring in a veteran quarterback as somebody to compete with Deshaun Watson? Or do you think they just go the straight rookie route? Just your two cents.
Yeah, I think both. I think, you know, if Watson is going to come back and be on the roster at least for 2025, then obviously there's got to be some competition. And I think you've got to do that by, whether it's, you know, Kirk Cousins. I'll be honest with you guys. I think the Minnesota situation is fascinating with J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold now. I think that's something to keep an eye on, right?
Daniel Jones at the present as well.
Daniel Jones as well. I mean, guys that could either be bridges to your next franchise quarterback that you identify through the draft or what have you. But I think it's going to be a combination of those things, Dan and Jeff. I think it's going to be, you know, you're going to sign a veteran, bring him in, have him compete with Deshaun. And who knows, if you take Cam Ward, let's say, or you take Shedeur Sanders, whoever falls to you at 1, 2, or 3 or wherever is you're picking in the top five, top six, you know, if that guy shows he's ready, then play him. You know, I think this idea that you've got to let a rookie kind of grow into the role has been shot to pieces over the last couple of years as well. And then when you look at what a kid like Jaden Daniels has done this year, or how Michael Penix comes off the bench the other night and performs in a critical game and plays as well as he does, I think some of these rookies have displayed that they can play right away. Now, I know people are looking at this draft class and saying, there's not really that many great franchise quarterbacks in there. But you know what? Every year somebody emerges from, whether it's the second, third, or fourth round, and becomes a 10-year veteran starting quarterback in this league. It's about having the people in the building that can identify that talent and then the coaching staff that can develop them.
Tom Withers joining us. Tom, you mentioned Deshaun and the contract and back next year. That seems to be what has to happen because of the contract. And every time we talk about it, every time somebody brings it up, I just think, gosh, that just sounds like a terrible idea. And I know they have to from a contract standpoint or they're going to get killed. But the idea of bringing Deshaun back and actually having him as part of the football team, unless he has a miraculous change in his play, just sounds like an awful idea. And I don't know of anything else they can do. Do you?
Well, we don't know where he is medically either, right, Jeff? I mean,
true.
He's coming back off. You know, listen, I'll be honest. I sat there and watched him at Greenbrier in July, you know, throwing nothing but swing passes and really not stepping into anything downfield and thought, uh-oh, I'm not sure he's ready to be back even from his shoulder injury. Now you compile that with a ruptured Achilles, which we have seen, and he's only 29 years old, don't get me wrong, and he's an elite athlete, and he's got the best recovery and rehabilitation things at his grasp at any time. So he'll work his way back. But what's been discouraging, I think, to all of us is that he just hasn't been close to the same quarterback that he was in Houston. Now you've added another year onto that. So I agree with you, Jeff. I mean, it sounds when we see the totality of it all over the past three seasons and you factor in the injuries and the rust and the time off and all the other stuff, never mind all the off the field situation, it's taken its toll on him. It's taken its toll on this fan base. And while it doesn't seem appetizing to run that back again, to your point, Jeff, the contract has given you no out right now. So I think the restructuring last week obviously at least gives you an exit ramp at some point, whether that's after June 1st this year or whether it's after June 1st in 2026. We will see. But I think it's also important to remember that this is a guy who is rehabbing a major injury now, and let's see what he's like once we get a few more months down the road.
Any shot you bring Jameis back, Tom?
That's an interesting one as well. You know, I know people kind of, there's a lot of times where people scoff at the idea that, you know, so-and-so is a good locker room or clubhouse guy. This guy's unbelievable. I mean, he really has an infectious personality and guys just love being around him. And so there's something to be said for that, right? I mean,
yeah. Hey,
you know, does he come with all kinds of warts and blisters and whatever else because he's Jameis Winston and he'll throw a pick six as quickly as he'll throw a touchdown pass? Yeah, that's part of it. But I think he's been an important part of, you know, DTR's development in terms of learning how to play the position, learning how to prepare for games, all those kinds of things. It's important to have and whether it's Jameis Winston or Kirk Cousins or fill in the blank veteran quarterback, it's important to have that guy in the room as you're either, you know, bringing Deshaun back or, you know, getting a rookie quarterback ready to play next year.
They have some big decisions to make there. Tom, I can't get 497 passing yards against Denver out of my head when it comes to Jameis in a loss with two pick sixes. And those were horrendous. But who throws for 500 yards in a football game?
Browns quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And then loses. I know it's incredible. And so, and then here we are, you know, potentially on the cusp of having a 40th different starter since 1999. And sometimes I try to get my head around that number and it's really impossible, but it's also it just underscores where this franchise has been for way too long.
All right. I'm going to say this on the air and you're going to yell at me. So be prepared, Tom, you're going to get mad at me.
Cavs in six.
Okay. That too.
Okay.
Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for being a mentor. Thank you for being somebody that I could text Tom.
I'm sorry, mentor. You're responsible for this, Tom?
All right, you don't have to openly admit to that part.
East of Cleveland.
Thank you for being somebody that I could text and say, I have no idea what the hell we're going to talk about, but we're going to have some fun. And thank you for all those conversations. And I was telling, I think it was Anthony who called you earlier in the back, one of my favorite conversations I ever had with you was a Seth Wickersham piece that came out. And the two of us were looking at this thing, and you went, this right here, this is the problem, and proceeded to just, it was the best journalism conversation I've ever had, and I will never forget it. And thank you, my friend. Thank you for everything, hope we have many more.
No, you're welcome. I appreciate you guys allowing me to have this this platform to connect with the fans. That's been my mission, you know, since I've been here, is to try to be, you know, a, you know, somebody that holds these teams to account and is fair with the athletes and is fair with the ownership groups and is fair with the fans, because Cleveland fans are the best in the world.
Thank you, buddy. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
So, Dane Brugler up there on the artist formerly known as Twitter. Some NFL scouts, and this is from his recent column on The Athletic, and, you know, Dane, of course, local guy, and Warren, great dude, great resource for all of those things. The Beast is must read if you're a draft guy. Some NFL scouts believe one or two quarterbacks are deserving of this year's first round, while others think drafting any quarterback in the first round would be a mistake. A comment from one AFC scout: man, I feel bad for the teams trying to find one in this group. Egads.
Okay.
To use a term from 1912.
Okay.
There's a comment after it where someone asked Dane, Jeff,
yes,
who would you have as a higher grade between J.J. McCarthy, Cam Ward, and Shedeur Sanders? Dane responds, J.J. McCarthy.
Yes. That, now, see, that's telling. That's telling here.
Mm-hmm. I have said it before. I will say it again, and I will say it often. I am not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft.
Okay. I'm not saying that yet.
I'm saying it.
I'll be completely honest. I've said this before, though. I'm kind of living in the moment here. I have not looked ahead to the draft yet. I will sit down and take a look for whatever my silly vision will do for looking at a quarterback.
You've done pretty well. I have to give you props.
And I'll take a look at these guys. My only thought is this. Just because a guy might be the best quarterback or two in a specific draft doesn't mean he's the guy you need to hitch the old wagon to. You know what I mean? Just because you have the, let's say, third pick in the draft,
mm-hmm,
and you need a quarterback,
mm-hmm,
doesn't mean that you should draft a quarterback who in other drafts would go in the late second round.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Browns have to be really careful. And if they don't draft a quarterback, that's fine. We're going to get heavily into it. I mean, I'm sorry. This isn't nice to say, and Andy would say, don't go behind the curtain. Browns quarterback, it's the gift that keeps on giving to Sports Talk Radio.
Very much so.
Okay? I sure wish that John Dorsey would have taken Josh Allen, and we wouldn't have any conversation about it.
We probably still would
have. I wish he would have taken Lamar Jackson.
We probably still would have.
I wish Baker Mayfield had played the way he's playing now when he was with the Browns on a more consistent basis than he did, because he'd probably still be here and they probably wouldn't have looked for Deshaun Watson, because Baker's doing a really nice job now. But at the time, I understood why they were looking to upgrade the position. All that said, just because you have a high pick doesn't mean, and you need a quarterback, doesn't mean you have to take a quarterback if you don't think that quarterback is worthy of the high pick. Like if the best quarterback in the draft, is it Shedeur Sanders? Is it Cam Ward? I don't know. Whichever one they think is the best quarterback in this draft is the 17th player on their board, run far, run fast.
Right.
Take the guy who's number three or number two. If a team ahead of you doesn't take that guy, take the best player. Because this team has a lot of holes. It has a lot of spots that could use a little help. And so I would do that. And if that quarterback that you like is there in the second round, okay, go for it. And I we're going to get into the quarterback in a big way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, coming up, I think there are a lot of young guys around the league who are going to be available who might be really intriguing prospects to bring in and give to Kevin Stefanski and say, fix him. Make it work. Turn him into this year's Sam Darnold. Turn him into Geno Smith. And I think that that's possible. I really do. You know, I got to be honest. Zach Wilson was not good with the Jets. He was good enough that they thought he was worth the number two pick in the draft. Now, does that fit in exactly with what I just talked about? He was the second pick in the draft because the Jets needed a quarterback and they just took him at the second pick when they should have never done that. That's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible, right?
No, I wasn't disagreeing with you in that regard. I was going to just say, don't EJ Manuel yourself.
Exactly. Which is what?
Talk yourself into a quarterback that doesn't belong there.
Exactly right.
Everybody told you in that draft there wasn't a quarterback worth taking in the first round.
And the Bills did.
And the Bills talked themselves into EJ Manuel.
And it didn't work.
Right.
You know, and if you have doubts, you don't take them. Now, how did Jamarcus Russell turn into a complete bust? He did. You just got to make sure. And so if you have any doubts, you don't necessarily have to land your quarterback for the next 15 years this offseason. You could land your quarterback for the next three. That'd be okay.
Yeah.
You know, go get a quarterback who you think can play for you for 3 or 4 years. That's okay. Or for 1 year.
Yeah.
You don't have to solve this riddle. Just go get a guy who can play quarterback for you for a year.
What everyone will tell you, or at least what I've read to this point, again, I've been watching college all season. I will say that when I've tried to see all the big name quarterbacks and all the big name teams a couple different times, I've been watching in bowl season, all that kind of stuff. I've been reading along the way. Now, I am by no means a quarterback expert. I do not commit my life to watching all 22 tape. I am just somebody who will sit there and go, oh wow, he stuck that into a tight window. Nice throw. Okay, read that decently. Okay, that'll work. Like, that's what we're dealing with here. Please do not think for the life of you that I should be the end-all, be-all. Everybody says to give it a year with all these guys.
Yeah.
Everybody says if you're going to take Shador, he's going to need to sit. Well, if you're going to take Cam Ward, he's going to need to sit.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think what Tom said was accurate, which is, okay, if he comes in and it looks like he can play, then play him. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. I also don't mind letting a guy sit. In this class,
right,
it appears that these guys need a year.
Right.
That's what the general scuttlebutt is among all the scouts, that these fellas coming out are going to need a year.
But Jeff, some of it's my upbringing and just general preference when it comes to this stuff. I think the method we should be working on is, unless you're holding Peyton Manning, unless you're holding Andrew Luck, I don't know if I put Caleb Williams in that same conversation, but you get kind of what I'm going after. Unless I've got these guys that are just surefire, yeah, this is going to work.
They look like they're going to be starting quarterbacks
exactly.
In the NFL. And remember, there are only 32 of those jobs. And how many of them are really good? So we're looking at, like, maybe, you know, 10, 15 guys who you think are really good.
I'm sitting the vast majority of them. And it could easily be the fact that I have Ron Wolf in my head. And I have the Ron Wolf philosophy, and you could say Ted Thompson, Brian Gutekunst, whatever you want to point to. That whole idea that I'm going to bring this guy in, and I want him to sit. Because I want him to see how fast the NFL game is. I want him to learn from the guy in front of him. I want him to adapt. I want him to see things through those eyes, go through practice reps, and at least realize of what it takes to be a professional at this level. I love what Atlanta did with Michael Penix, where even as things went south with Kirk Cousins, they went, forget it. He's sitting. And it's not until the end of the year that we're bringing that guy in. I loved it. I thought that was the smartest thing that you could do with that guy, is just let him realize how fast the game is moving and what he needs to do to get better.
Jay's in Solon. Hi, Jay.
How are you, Jay?
What's going on, y'all? A couple things. Love the show, as always.
Thank you, man.
I don't think Stefanski has developed anybody. Just period on that. And y'all can say what y'all need to say on that. Two, I think we do need a quarterback. And we also always have to say quarterbacks are only good as their offensive line. So on top of having some decent receivers, and hopefully they stay, having decent tight ends, defense is okay. I think that we should get a quarterback and work on our offensive line and also downsizing our offensive line. We talked about that before. Getting some smaller guys, faster guys, that match up better with these fast defensive ends. Outside of that, it's going to be tough coming to Cleveland, especially with all of this mayor stuff and the process of all this stuff going on. It's going to be a huge conversation. So it's a tough place to come to at this time.
Well, here's the thing, Jay. If as funny as it sounds, man, if you're worried about where you're playing, like, I don't know what to tell you. You know where you're playing. It's down in the lakefront until 2029. Like, that's pretty much, that's locked in stone. That's not going anywhere. That's, for these guys, man, it is day-to-day, year-to-year, at best, that's as far as they're looking ahead. So I would not put any worry into where the Browns are going to be playing football. They're playing at the stadium until 2029.
Do you think Stefanski is developing anyone? Do you think he developed any quarterbacks, any running backs? Do you think he developed any parts of our team as we went along? And that's all I have. Y'all have a good day.
All right, Jay. Yeah, I think he's done a nice job with some quarterbacks. Now, do we have a starting quarterback? No. Has it worked with DTR? Not yet. I don't know that it will. I thought he did a nice job with some of the other guys who are here. He put Joe Flacco in a good position. I think he put Jameis in a good position. You know, before anybody says, well, Jameis threw the interceptions. Yeah, so did Joe. But it worked with Joe because the team around him, I think, was better and they won. I think Kevin did a nice job with those guys. And if you're saying he hasn't developed anybody, so draft a quarterback, well, then why would he develop that guy?
Because you want to fire the coach and get somebody else.
Well, that's exactly right.
And that's it. Is if, and this is the weird part of where this team is right now as well, is I can tell you, goodness, what, 40% of your fan base? Maybe it's higher than that. Thinks your head coach just ain't it.
Yeah, but how many teams is that the case with? You know, my guess is that 99% of Chiefs fans like Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell you all Steeler fans don't like Mike Tomlin.
That is very true.
I can tell you all Packer fans
don't like Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur.
I got the text to prove that one.
And they're pretty good.
I mean, you can say the same thing with John Harbaugh
exactly.
In Baltimore. You know, you're always going to disagree.
Yeah. Very few coaches are beloved by their fan base. Very few.
The part of it was, is he's never really been handed a quarterback and said, all right, here you go. Develop it. Make it work.
Well,
Kirk Cousins might be as close as they came. Or maybe Case Keenum. But even, you know, heck, he's never really been handed the 23-year-old.
Well, and I said this yesterday. I don't think he's had a quarterback here who is his guy. Not one. He inherited Baker. Had to make Baker work. Did a pretty solid job. Made Baker play some pretty good football. After that, I don't think he's had his guy. Deshaun, I don't think, was his guy. Jameis, probably not his guy. Joe Flacco wasn't his guy. DTR, probably not his guy. I wonder. And I wonder what the offseason holds at that spot. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.